Alrighty, so this morning we are going to be in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11, if you want to join with me there. The title of today's sermon is How to Love God. And I think that's something we all need to remember every now and then, how to love God. I'll start off with a little story, a little illustration, just to kind of help us out as we talk into this subject. Once upon a time, Grandpa and his grandson Sam spent a summer together. Grandpa was a wise and a gentle soul, and was known for his loving nature and his profound wisdom. Each day he shared stories and he shared lessons with his grandson Sam, instilling values and teaching him about all of life and its intricacies. And their bond, it grew stronger as they worked side by side in the garden, observing the harmony of nature. But one day, as they rested under the shade of this old oak tree, Grandpa shared a special secret with the young Sam. He explained that the key to a fulfilled life lies in understanding and embracing three essential values: obedience, gratitude, and sacrifice. That's not my theme song that's going off. Obedience, gratitude, and sacrifice. He likened these values to nurturing a garden and keeping it thriving, sunlight, water, and care. Just as plants need these elements to grow, our souls need obedience, gratitude, and sacrifice to truly love and connect with God. But through this simple and profound analogy, that Grandpa, he imparted a lasting analogy and lesson upon that young Sam, and he taught him that loving God is akin to tending a garden, requiring dedication, appreciation for the gifts that God gives us, and the willingness to give of oneself selflessly. And now we're diving into the heart of Deuteronomy 11, 1 through 7. If you are able to stand with me as we read God's word, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 1 through 7, it says this: Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his outstretched arm, and his miracles, and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land. And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. And what he did unto you in the wilderness, until you came unto this place. And what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, how the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up in their households and their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Pray with me this morning. Father God, as always, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this opportunity to always share in your word and study it and meditate upon it. And Lord, may what we hear this morning be fruitful to our relationship with you. God, thank you again for this day, and thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning. Thank you for keeping us safe, and thank you for keeping us at peace. Lord, let us know how to truly love you in the way that we should. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the words here that we see, of course, are from Moses. Moses is... it's not just an ancient text. These words that Moses gives us, they are a directive, a living directive, urging us to love and obey God. And these commands shared with a generation poised at the brink of their destiny are more than just historical tales. They are life lessons and a testament to God's steadfast faithfulness, meant to be remembered and acted upon. And Moses' call to the Israelites and to us is very, very clear. Love and obey God based on personal experiences and His power and grace that He has shown you. And this remembrance isn't just about the past. It's a foundation for present faithfulness and future hope. True love for God goes far beyond just a fleeting emotion that we have in our life. It's something that is incredibly profound. It's an action-based love that's manifested in our daily lives. Meaning, every single day when we get up, we have to choose to love and obey God. We have to actively make that choice to obey God and remember all the wonderful things He has done for us and recognize He is still truly working on us in our lives at this very moment, and He will always be there guiding us and directing us in our life. And that's why we love Him partially, because of what He's doing for us in our lives every single day. But as we explore through this message, we'll be looking at three different ways to love God. And we'll be starting with obedience. Loving God deeply means valuing His desires and aligning our lives with His commandments. So let's dive into a deep understanding of what it means to have love through obedience. And that is our first point. Looking back at Deuteronomy 11, verse 1, it tells us clearly, "Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God first and foremost." Then it says, "Thou shalt keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments." That's pretty plain, pretty simple, pretty straightforward. First, you're called to love God, and then you're called to keep His charge and all the things that comes with that, His commandments, His rules, His judgments, all of those things. He wants us to love Him, and He wants us to obey Him. In the end, it's not difficult to love God because He makes it so simple for us. God is not a harsh God. God is not an evil God. God is not an unjust God. God is a loving and faithful and true and a personal God. He comes into our life, and not only does He truly care for us and provide our every need, but He also is a God who gave us a way to live eternally as well. He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us 2,000 years ago with a death so very gruesome that each one of us would likely have deserved over what Jesus did. But He chose to do that anyway, sacrificing His own Son because of His great love for us. And He simply just calls us to obey Him. I think we can manage that. I think we can truly manage to love and obey a God who has sent His own Son to die for us in our stead. But continuing on here, you know, obedience, when we obey God, that's a reflection of our love towards Him. Loving someone profoundly changes how we interact with that person, with their words and their desires. And this is particularly true in our relationship with God our Father. That command in Deuteronomy 11, verse 1, to love God and keep His charge, it intertwines with our love with Him and how we should have adherence to His ways. God's commandments are more than just rules, aren't they? They're reflections of His perfect wisdom. God wouldn't tell us to do a certain thing if there wasn't any wisdom behind it. God wouldn't tell us, "Thou shalt not murder," if it wasn't true that we shouldn't murder somebody, because that's sinful and it's wrong. And the same thing goes with lust, and the same thing goes with stealing and keeping idols and worshiping other gods before Him. God made those Ten Commandments and all of the rules and regulations and all of the other commandments in the Bible for a specific reason. Not just because He was throwing some rules out into the air. He wants us to follow and abide by His rules for a specific purpose. Not just to glorify Him, but to help us in our lives as well. And He wants us to grow more like Christ every single day. And when we do grow more like Christ every single day, it'll be through obedience and gratitude unto our Lord God. And all these commandments, they help guide us. They help light our path. Psalm 119, 105 tells us, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So those commandments, all these charges that God gives us, that's our light to help us along our path. God gives us this holy and sovereign word called the Bible for a twofold reason. One, to help us understand who He is. And two, to help us live a holy and righteous life. He wants us to live that way because He truly cares for us. And He knows if we abide by His commandments and what is written inside of His word, our life will be much more fruitful than it would be without all that. Following these commandments, it's not about submission to authority, as some people say, because you know how it goes. People who are not Christians often like to say, "I don't want to follow all those rules that the Bible and those Jesus folk are following. I don't want to be submitting myself to an authority figure that God, He doesn't even care about me. Why should I follow His rules?" Right? But it's not about submission to authority. It's truly about joyful affirmation of our trust and love for God. And when we obey Him and the commandments that He gives us, we don't just follow orders. We walk in harmony with Him. We embrace a life that resonates with God's blessings. And it's true. If you love God and you follow His commandments, He'll bless you. Amen. He'll take care of you. I can say that for a fact because I woke up this morning and the heater was still working. God loves us and He cares for us and He truly does cherish us. But in our daily lives, we often encounter all these various decisions and all these crossroads. But God's commandments, they act as a compass during those times of questioning and not showing which way we should walk or which way we should go. They provide direction. They provide wisdom. They are not arbitrary demands, but they're invitations to live a life that is aligned with divine wisdom and purpose. Each act of obedience in our life towards God, it reinforces our connection with God. Haven't you maybe noticed that? If you listen to God and you do what He says, you feel that relationship with God get stronger. That's the way it works. And you'll choose to be able to have more gratitude for God because you decide to obey, because you realized in the end, God, you were right all along. I was wrong. You're smarter than me, God. I get it. And that's the truth of the matter. God is so much more wiser than we. But He does these things in our life to show us that He truly cares for us and He wants us to make the best decisions possible. We live in a life where every single journey, where each step that we take can be chosen to be in obedience to God or to be not obedient unto God. But everything that we do needs to be a reflection of God's love in our life. In doing so, we will reveal His beauty and a depth to a life that's lived in sync with God's will. Another thing involving obedience when it comes to love is we need to redefine what it means to have obedience in God's kingdom. In today's world, obedience often carries that connotation of submission or loss of individuality. That's the opposite when it comes to God's kingdom. In the context of God's kingdom, obedience is redefined entirely. It's not about surrendering our freedom. In fact, I would say when you follow God, you get that freedom. It's about embracing this higher form of freedom that is found in God's love and in His wisdom. And Jesus tells us that true discipleship involves adhering to His teachings, a path that leads to freedom and truth. As John 8:31 and 32 tells us, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, 'If ye continue in my word, Then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This freedom, it liberates us. It liberates us from the shackles of sin, as we call it, and the consequences of misguided choices. Because if you choose to follow God and abide by His commandments, you're less likely to make those sinful choices, and you're less likely to have those misguided paths in life, because your feet are going to be on that rock that will never falter, that foundation that is firm and true. If you build your life on that foundation that will never be rocky, well, guess what? God's going to take care of you. And He truly will, always will. That freedom, you know, it gives us an image of what God's love is. And God's love for us is completely unmatched by anything, and it's unparalleled, and it's demonstrated so passionately and fully through His Son's sacrifice on the cross. And this ultimate act of love, this sacrifice, it elicits a response from us. The desire to love God in return. Wouldn't you say, knowing about Jesus and what He did for us on that cross, doesn't that make you want to love God more? It makes me want to love God more. That God, the creator of the universe, the very one who put all the stars in the sky, who made all of the planets and put the earth in orbit around the sun, the one who makes the moon shine brightly in the night sky, and the one who put all of the grains of sand and knows how many grains of sand there are on the beaches and the deserts and how many blades of grass there are, how many hairs we have on our head, the one who knows every single one of us by name and the inner workings of our parts and how our bodies function the way that they should, and the one who brings the sun up in the morning and has to go back down in the evening time, the same God who does all of these miraculous things, the one who said in the beginning, "Let there be light," and there it was. That same God says, "I love you and I want a relationship with you," and He's the same one who sent His very Son to die for you on a cross. Can you imagine that? The King of all kings, the very creator of the universe, the one with more power and wisdom and authority than we could ever think possible. Nothing that our human mind and imagination could ever comprehend about God. That God said, "I want you." And that God said, "I will send my Son to die for you. I'm not worthy. I am not worthy." But He said, "You are worthy." He said, "I do want you." He said, "Come as you are. I welcome you." Isn't that something? So we can have obedience. We can love God and through obedience, can't we? He's done so much for us. We need to have that desire to love God in return for the love that He has shown us so much already. Obedience to God is not merely a duty, but it's a key that unlocks a treasure that's full of blessings in our life. And these blessings are truly diverse, and they often transcend just material wealth, and they include peace that surpasses all understanding. And it also gives us strength in adversity, and it gives us wisdom for life's complexities. As the psalmist says, those who love God's law are granted great peace, a stability that stands firm in face of life's trials. And this peace is one of many blessings that flows from a life that is full of obedience unto the Father. And that's a testament to the richness of God's love and His provisions. And this relationship between our obedience and God's blessings, it's not some transactional thing. It's not like you go down to the Pick and Save and you buy a bag of apples and it costs you so many dollars. That's not the way it works in God's kingdom. God doesn't sell us things. It's not transactional. God loves us and He gives us blessings because we obey Him. As we walk in obedience, we position ourselves in the flow of God's blessings. It's like if you have this stream. Imagine a stream that's right here in front of the altar. You have an absolute choice whether or not you want to walk in the stream or not. That's what it's like with God's blessings. He doesn't have a shelf where we can choose the provisions that he gives us or the blessings he gives us. We have a choice whether or not we want to obey him and whether or not we want to walk in that stream. If we choose to obey him, we walk in that stream and the blessings just start flowing in our life. That's how it is. And he loves us enough to let us have that option, that choice. This canal, this is connected to our life. Our obedience, it'll widen that river, that stream, that canal. And it'll allow more of God's blessings to enrich us in our lives. But it's essential to remember that all of these blessings, they're not wages that were paid, but they're just expressions of God's love, affirmations of his desire to have us thrive and see our purpose in our lives. Matthew 6:33 tells us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Does that make sense? Seek God first, and all of these things will be added unto you. But the important part is what it says, seek God first. Don't seek the world. Don't seek personal fame. Don't seek all of these other things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Obedience to God is not just listening to a set of instructions. It's an expression of faith and love in who he is and what he's done for us. Looking at the second thing about love, we talked about obedience. Now let's talk about love through gratitude. We need to have gratitude unto our Lord, our God. Looking back at verses in Deuteronomy 11, verses 2 through 4, it says, And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand and his stretched out arm, and his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all his land, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses and their chariots, and how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. There's an essence of gratitude that we need to understand. Gratitude in our faith journey is the recognition and appreciation of God's continuous acts of love and mercy. And these acts, they're akin to seeds that are sown in fertile soil, and they flourish into gratitude within our hearts. And this gratitude is more than just a feeling. It's an active acknowledgement of God's presence and provision in our life. In each instance of God's intervention in our life and every single blessing that we receive, that's all a reminder of his love. And it's urging our hearts to respond with sincere thankfulness and love. So, after we do that obedience, we have to thank him for the blessings he gives us, don't we? We just need to also just remember to thank him just for being our God. God did not have to love us the way that he chose to love us. So remember, every single moment that you can, to thank him for what he is doing for you and what he has done for you and what he will do for you. Gratitude is so very important to our relationship with our Lord. We should remember to be thankful unto him. We need to embrace that gratitude. And when we understand it, it'll transform how we view our relationship with God. It's not just about being thankful for the good things, but also about recognizing God's hand in every aspect of our lives. We have bad moments in our lives, don't we? We've all had those times where we feel like we're stuck and we're down deep in a hole or that old valley. Guess what? God's still there, isn't he? And if we remember that God's hand is still there, regardless of those things, we'll remember to have gratitude towards him
in all circumstances. Because it's so assuring to know that even when we are so down low, that God is still next to us. As I mentioned before, I can't imagine someone living their life without knowing that God is by their side. Yeah. It's a terrible thought. You know, it always reminds me also, the worst thing about living a sinful life and not following Jesus and dying and going to hell, the worst thing is not the fire and eternal burning and eternal damnation is in hell. The worst thing is eternal separation from God. I couldn't imagine. I could never imagine eternal separation from God. That's why I'm so, so glad, so, so blessed, and I know that I'm so, so loved every single day because I feel the presence of God, and I see Him doing all these things in my life every single day. And many things that they just go unnoticed that God is doing right before our very eyes. Even the way that our body works, that's all because of God. The very breath of God was breathed into the nostrils of Adam and gave him life. It's in the same way that we live and that we breathe. I don't know how my body works. I know I have a heart in here. I know I have a brain up here that does something. But God makes it all work together for good. Choose to have gratitude in your life, even for the small, simple things. And just like in the story here in Deuteronomy 11, when Moses is talking about all the things that God did that helped the Israelites when they were leaving Egypt, we have to remember all the mighty acts that God has done in our life as well. And we remembering God's mighty acts, that's a spiritual discipline that anchors our faith and cultivates gratitude. The narrative in the Bible and all of the testimonies in our lives as well are filled with instances of God's love and His divine intervention. All of this is through God's guidance and because of His hand. And we need to remember to have gratitude for those things. God saved you one day. Every single one of us has a different salvation story. But God still chose to save you. And you chose to follow Him. And now, choose to love and obey Him. Give Him thanks. And finally, let's look at our final thing this morning, which is love through sacrifice. Finishing it off here, verses 5 through 7. And what He did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place, and what He did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up in their households and in their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which He did. In the essence of God's love for us, it's profoundly sacrificial. And that's epitomized by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And as we know, that act, it was part of God's character, what He did for us on that cross through the Son, Jesus Christ. But we need to take that and allow it to define who we are as well. It's the heart of the gospel, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. It's the foundation of our faith. In Deuteronomy, God calls for more than compliance or gratitude from the Israelites. He calls for a reflection of His own sacrificial love in their lives. And that sets the stage for how we, too, should love God. Not superficially, but wholly, fully, deeply, sacrificially. Surrendering our will unto God is a way that we do that. And that's a vibrant testament to how we love Him. It mirrors Jesus' surrender in that garden in Gethsemane. Do y'all remember that scene where He prioritized God's will over His own? Jesus was deeply distraught because He knew very, very soon He was going to die on that cross. And He even asked unto God, He pleaded with Him, God, if it's in Your will, take this cup away from me. But Lord, not my will, but Thine. Can we say that? Can we say in our lives, Lord, let it not be my will, but let it be Thy will. Let my life be a life of a living sacrifice unto you every single day. And that's how we showcase our love in one of its truest forms unto God, by living a life that is sacrificed, by surrendering ourselves unto him. Jesus prioritized God's will over his own. And this surrender that we are thinking, that we're talking about, it isn't about abandoning our desires, but it's about aligning them with God's will and trusting that he holds our best interests at heart. And it's a daily commitment to actively trust him, a declaration that we value God's plan over our own plan. And in this surrender, we find true freedom. Freedom from the pressure of control, freedom to live in peace, and freedom to know that our lives are guided by a loving and holy, wonderful, amazing God. And also, with that being said, we also need to give generously unto God. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about give God your time as well. It extends beyond finances. Give God your time. Give God your talents. Give God your lives. Think about the widow's heart that's mentioned in Mark chapter 12. True generosity is inspired by God's own, as seen in the gift of his son. It's not about the amount that we give, but the heart behind it. Many of us may not have a dollar to our name, but we still give unto the Lord because we know he will use that for his kingdom. It's the same way with our time. We all have busy schedules sometimes. But guess what? If you spend just 5 minutes wholeheartedly worshiping God and doing what he calls you to do, he will use that to glorify himself and build the kingdom of God and further nurture you and your relationship with him. Use what God gives you to sacrifice unto him. And also serving others as well. We need to serve others, and that's another direct way to love God. Just like Jesus tells us to serve others. It calls us to become Christ's hands and feet, serving selflessly, prioritizing others' needs, and embodying Christ's humility. But thinking about all these things, and all the ways that we should love God and all that he calls us to do, remember, he truly chose to love us first. We've explored all the various depths of God's love, obedience, gratitude, sacrifice. And it becomes clear that love, in its purest form, it seeks no reward. It loves simply for the sake of love itself. I want to close with a poem that Francis Xavier from the 1500s wrote. It deeply resonates with this message. Just listen closer to these words. My God, I love thee, not because I hope for heaven nearby, nor yet because who love thee are lost eternally. Thou, O my Jesus, thou didst upon me on the cross embrace. For me didst bear the nails and spear in manifold disgrace, and griefs and torments numberless in sweat of agony. Yea, death itself and all for me who was thine enemy. Then why, O blessed Jesus Christ, should I not love thee well? Not for the sake of winning heaven, nor of escaping hell. Not from the hope of gaining aught, not seeking a reward. But as thyself hast loved me, O ever-loving Lord, so would I love thee, dearest Lord, and in thy praise will sing, solely because thou art my God and my most loving King. Love God because he is God, because what he's done for us. We shouldn't just love God because he's our ticket to heaven. Love God because of what he does for us and who he truly is. God is a loving and merciful God. And he loves you today. I'll open us up now for a time of invitation. I'll have Dale come back forward. But if you want to